Hey Fadies, thanks for listening to Chapter 6, Episode 8 of The Fate of Ison. I'm DM Brad, and it is wicked, sweet, and or dope to have you here with us. Before we recap, I just want to give a shout out to our friends over at Dice Vault. They've been really supportive of our show and are even offering a massive 20% discount on dice and gaming accessories for our listeners. Just go to dicevault.com and use the promo code RESISTANCE. Ah, delicious. Go raid the Dice Vault today. In this episode, we are joined by our good friend Waffles from the Waffles and Mario Talk About Things podcast. So you know what? Let's jump into it. Last time, Arcus and Marley finally got off the mountain and got some much-needed R&R in the city of Stonemore. They bonded over stories of their various adventures and learned from Haydead that their hardest trials are yet to come. In the morning, they got makeovers at the famous Swallow-style salon, then ventured into what was once Banfall's domain, the Vice District of Stonemore. Okay, and we'll learn about Waffle's character soon.
Wait, I get a character?
So, oh no, you're just here as a spectator, that's right.
I was going to say, like, was I meant to actually do work for this? Oh no.
Homework? Where's your homework?
Here's the thing. Waffles has been sharing with me all of the homework he's been doing, and it's a lot. Waffles has written more about this character and the situation surrounding this character than I have about the world of Ison.
Oh, wow, have I?
Wait. There's a whole wiki about Ison. So are you telling me there's a wiki out there about this character that's about to come out?
I'm going to say, just a heads up, after this, you're probably double the size of the wiki.
Yeah, by the way, Waffles, you have my full and completely unbridled permission to update the wiki with information about this character when and if you see fit.
Thank you. I will be doing that.
So, bringing us into what happened last time. So, we've had one session since the live shows, and it was very much a cool down session where they all got off the mountain. They helped, they rested inside the flywag while Shabs fixed it just enough to sort of make a crappy crash landing in the middle of the city of Stonemore. The Queen and her entourage got out of the flywag and went back to the castle. Shabs and the other goblin went off to Shabs' workshop, and Marley and Arcus and Hodge went to go rest at the Craft Tavern. And then in the morning they got makeovers at Svalo style and went shopping for some armor for Marley. She wanted to upgrade to a half plate and a shield, which ups your AC to 19 when you're using it, which makes you not so squishy.
Yay!
And Arcus wanted to get some tiny mouse armor for Rain.
Nice.
Which is purely going to be for flavor, because Rain just gets completely forgotten as soon as there's danger.
Well, I don't want her to die, and so I protect her in my pocket a lot.
Cool.
So they Haydet almost gave them a mission. So Marley got something out of the locker and they heard Haydet's voice go, "Hey, there's a number," and then they closed it again. So they know that something is going on somewhere in the world. But they decided to investigate the Vice District, where 2 weeks ago their buddy Banfor had been in charge and then left. And they have learned just from rumors around town that the Vice District has been basically taken over by mice. Mice are in charge, and no one's getting hurt, but everyone in the whole city knows that you just don't go there unless you want to deal with the mice. So we will pick it up there. You walk into the area designated as the Vice District, and I'll let Waffles take over as DM briefly, because he's going to explain to you what it is you see.
Cool. So first off, forget the name Vice District. As you approach the Vice District, you see a wall that has been built out of what you can determine to be old buildings that were once part of the Vice District and are now part of this mighty wall that is surrounding the border of the district. And you see a gateway in the wall where you have access into what you, if you choose to, read on top of the wall is the words Banfor City.
Take me down to the Banfor City.
Nice to scream, and the girls are pretty.
Yes. So I'm assuming you are walking into the new Banfor City?
Yeah.
Cool. What would be your thoughts walking like in a gateway with Banfor's name above it, being like, that wasn't there 2 weeks ago?
Mali's eye rolling, because that would be Mali.
Arcus is like, that name sounds familiar.
Brilliant. So as you walk in, can you roll me a perception check?
Who's the DM this. Now? Yeah.
Waffles is when you're in Banfor City, Waffles is the DM.
15. 19.
Ooh, shiny. Great. So you guys pretty much see everything. So you enter, and your first instinct is that it's empty, that there's nothing here that's been completely abandoned. But that is quickly overtaken when you see little mice scurrying everywhere. But they're not the same mice that you remember. They have little clothing on them, and some of them are wearing armor and some of them are armed. And you look up on the walls, and the walls pretty much are filled with battle mice, all in their armor, and they've converted some crossbows into, there's a word, ballistas, that's the word. They've so the walls are heavily defended with uncountable numbers. Pretty much in the 2 weeks since you've last been there, they've converted, or they've started to convert, what was the Vice District into a mouse-sized city. So buildings are in a state of being dismantled, and there's tiny little mouse-sized cranes that are, you know, deconstructing and reconstructing. And as you look down, you see mice, but they're riding cats. And so they're battle mice riding cats, but there's not just the battle mice. There are other mice in wagons being pulled by guinea pigs. And there's mice that are riding rabbits, being chased by the battle cats. And what you can sort of perceive to be sort of illegal street racing. And suddenly you hear a mighty trumpet come, and you look to the side, and you see that there is scaffolding around the building, and it looks as if that there is an assortment of mice that have come to greet you, and they are blowing into trumpets, and there's mice on drums, and they're making sweet, sweet, beautiful music. And you hear in their little mice voices saying, "All hail Mali, the goddess of the music and creativity. All hail Arcus, god of petty nuisances. We've heard rumors of petty annoyances,
grievances.
Petty grievances. That the god has spoken. Arcus is the god of petty grievances."
And there is a mighty cheering from a section of the mice that are all wearing a different, oddly shaped hats.
Arcus just joins in.
Whoa!
Yeah!
They cheer louder. They're just, it's going off. There is a party in the Arcus section. And there's a whole a battalion of battle mice amongst them, and they are crying out, "Where is Banfor, god of death?" And they're looking at you quizzically.
Crap.
Isn't that ironic?
Yep.
And Mali says, like, not even like condescendingly or anything, kind of kneels down and like almost like a courtly gesture, and is like, "I have grave matters to speak to you all on. Should I do this here?"
It's okay. There's nothing. There's nothing private in Banfor City. We share everything.
Communism.
Communism.
Banfor is.
Wait.
In the. Do we know he's in the. Banfor is in the in-between.
Ah, that sounds like the god of death. We should have expected it. That is fine.
He has not made contact with Sorgamol, but he has not returned to us either.
Sorgamol, we do not know of the Sorgamol. We just...
Sorgamol gave him his axe.
Ah, Sorgamol sounds like a cool guy then. We like Sorgamol.
And there's a erupting from the crowd just yelling, "Sorgamol, Sorgamol." But in little mouse voices, so it's
Sorgamol, Sorgamol.
I'll make it a chorus in post.
Thank you.
Nice.
And you spy in the crowd one mouse who's slightly larger, and it looks like he's beckoning you.
It's not Peter the Rat, is it?
No. Yeah, it looks like he's sort of beckoning you to sort of follow him, and he starts running along the sort of scaffolding, sort of leading you somewhere.
Yeah, Molly gets to her feet and follows.
Following along.
Brilliant. So you sort of get away from the crowd a bit, and the crowd, they sort of disperse. They look like they're going back to their sort of busy lives. And so this mouse, he sort of comes, he's on the sort of edge of the banister, sort of trying to get to you, and he's sort of saying,
I need your help.
Okay. Anything we can do for Bamfor's friends?
Yeah, cool. The city, it's not in a good way. The situation is very fraught. There's a whole bunch of mouse factions.
And he's going to explain to you pretty much how Bamfor City kind of operates.
There's sort of a parliament, but they're ineffective. They're corrupt. They're just pretty much for the show, the illusion of power. Really, there is a secret cabal of... We don't like to call ourselves mice. We prefer the term Kiori. So we are the Kiori. And there's a... There's an Illuma Mousy of the humans.
So we're rejecting communism and moving on to
Mousy.
The...
Got it?
The Illuma Mousy.
Wild. The Illuma Mousy. Got it.
And they pretty much secretly run things, and I've done my best to keep them at peace, but it seems that some of the heads of the factions, they're getting a bit power mad. They want to take power for themselves, and so what once was a bit of a balance in order to sort of protect ourselves against the biglings. There's some of the Illuma Mousy who kind of want to disturb that peace. They kind of want to conquer more of the city, and I fear that would lead to great conflict. And you guys.
So wait, the Illuma Mousy want to take over more of the city, sort of Bamfor push the walls kind of scenario.
Well, not all of them. Some of them. There's some who are happy.
Some of them.
Yeah, there are. So pretty much they're kind of. You see the battle mice. They're controlled by certain sections of the Illuma Mousy, and they kind of act as the guards.
I like whisper to Molly. I'm like, hey, are we sure this guy's not just like a conspiracy nut?
I think he's. Look,
he's watched a few videos on YouTube.
I think he might be on some sort of website.
Yeah. So Molly whispers back to Arcus, "This does not surprise me at all." And the mice that Bamfor left behind.
This mouse, he sort of sees you sort of a bit, you know, not leaving him.
No, it's not leaving, like, you know, Marley's, she's almost got like a stick and she's trying to draw it out in the dirt, you know, like she's trying to get her head around how all the factions work. Like, yeah, it's more like that.
So he runs down and he grabs a stick and he pretty much draws the city for you. And I have a map, and if I had a camera, I would show you. But it's set up into four sections. In the very center of the map, he draws a giant circle, and he explains to you that the circle is the agricultural zone. This is where they grow all their food and all their drugs, and they also have grown an apple orchard. Well, they're starting to grow an apple orchard as well, of course, in honor of the great apple squatteth. To the side of the circle, there are four roads which are leading into the main city of Stonemaul. Around the city, there is, of course, the wall. And, of course, in the gaps left, there are four sections. One is the manufacturing section, and this is where the factories, the textile mills, the construction yards, the blacksmiths, the workshops. Pretty much, if you can build it, it's found in this section. And he explains that this section is run by two mouse brothers called Clark and Bruce. In the southeastern corner is the residential section, and that is split into three sections, a smaller section. There is the elite section, there is the middle class section, and in the southeast of the southeastern corners, there is a tiny little vice district of its own.
So sad to see that classism still exists around the mice.
Yeah. Well, he explains that the elite...
amongst the mouses.
Oh, the Kiori. They
Kiori. Yeah.
It is the Tereo word for mouse. Rats. Or mouse. Yeah, it's Tereo. He explains that the elite mice are the mice that were originally on Banfor's armor that traveled with Banfor, and that all the other mice were just mice that have come in from the city and the surrounding lands. And so the elites are sort of the Banfor originals, or the BOs, as they like to call themselves. And all the elites are from this class. To the southwest is the commercial zone. So this is where all the shops are, all the malls, all the markets. If you want to buy something, you buy it from this zone. And this is run by two Kiori called Alfie and Rosie. And he explains that Alfie controls the internal trade. And he is the oldest of the Kiori. He is the leader of the Illumin Mousey. And... he is a wise old mouse, but he's afraid that he's going to die soon. And unfortunately, when Alfie dies, he's afraid that that is when the other factions are going to start to war with each other. He's kind of the one who is keeping the peace. And he controls internal trade within the city. If you want to buy or sell anything within Banfor City, a little piece of it goes through Alfie. And that Rosie controls the import and export trade. So she controls the trade between Banfor City and the Greater Stonemall, and so that she's collecting tariffs. And pretty much if you want to sell anything to the biglings, which is what they call all you bigger races, that is going through Rosie. And of course, to the northwestern corner is the most complicated zone. It is the military political university temple zone. He says that that is where the barracks for the battle mouse are found, as well as the temple of Banfor. There is also the political zone. There's the temple zone, of course, which has a temple to Mali and a newly built temple to Arcus. And there's the university / hospital zone, which is the zone of learning, where the mice are going to, you know, just explore this new sentience thing that they have.
Is there a trestle spoon temple or a temple spoon?
Temple spoon?
There is. There is a temple spoon, but his is found in the orchard, and he is the god of apples. And postman. And postman. Yes, the god of apples and postman. If you want to send an apple through the post, you're praying to trestle spoon.
I got to say, Waffles, when you told me you'd done so much work, I had no idea it was this, and I'm loving this.
Thank you.
also, I'm definitely going to need a map if I'm going to need to interact in this. I wrote notes, but...
I'll take a picture and post it. Yeah, and so he says that there are two mice, two Kiori, called Popcorn and Kobe, and they're pretty much the leaders of the military, and Popcorn is in charge of the internal guards, otherwise known as the Brute Squad, and they're the ones who sort of quote-unquote keep order within Banfor City, and Kobe controls the external guards, and they are the ones that are manning the walls. And Kobe, he's the youngest of the Illumin Mousey, and he's the one who's pushing for expansion. He's the one who is training his forces to try to invade the world of the biglings. And so he pretty much explains all this to you and says, you're gods, right? You can do something about this? You can help me keep order? Oh, my name is Cool Beans, by the way, if you want to call me something. Cool Beans.
Well, it's good to be a god. This feels like an El Dorado situation. We just go in.
Yeah. It's very El Dorado, actually, isn't it? We just go in and apparently we're already gods.
Mighty and powerful gods.
Bring me the gold.
Gold? Do you want gold? We can get you gold. We've got gold.
I was joking. I saw a play called El Dorado once.
So I'm sort of fresh out of ideas. I've been trying to keep order. I'm also part of the Illumin Mousey myself, but nobody listens
Underway.
To me.
do we?
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions on how we could help with that?
Yeah, I kind of do. I was wondering if you guys could somehow set up a public conference, a peace conference between Queen Shan and the Parliament, and that would give the Parliament legitimacy, take the power away from the Illumin Mousey, and legitify Banfor City as a political state, and so that way they wouldn't hold the threat of the Biglings over us. Because they keep saying that, oh, the Biglings are going to take their district back. And so they sort of use fear of the bigger races to really hold power. And so if you could do something about that, that would be really helpful.
Right. Okay, so you want us to be your diplomats?
Yeah.
Oh my god, can we get diplomatic status? Can we get little badges that say, like, Bamford Town diplomat?
Yes.
I want diplomatic immunity. I don't know what that is, but I want it.
I want diplomatic immunity too, whatever that means.
All right, add to your character sheets that you're now immune from diplomacy.
We're immune from diplomacy or immune...
Yeah, any diplomatic attacks just bounce right off you.
Nice.
Persuasion checks, deception checks.
No, just diplomatic,
Someone's just like, hey, can you not do that? And you're like, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Because I
have roll me a D100 on the diplomacy curse.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a 34. You destroy a nearby small island nation.
He says one last thing to you. He says, somebody who might be able to help you with this.
Go into the city of Stonemore and try to find a coffee vendor called Hot Beans. Hot Beans, the coffee vendor.
Oh, God.
And he'll help you. I hope.
And with that, he dashes off into a little mouse hole, a kiori hole, in a nearby building and is gone.
I miss the days when I gave a mouse a note to carry and took it all the way to Bamford, who can't read.
That led to this. Now mice are giving you diplomatic missions.
It's amazing.
What is this game? Goblin piss and political mice mysteries.
I mean,
that's the new name. We're rebranding. Goblin piss.
I'm having a flashback of Bamford actually saying that he was installing a parliament of mice.
I'm fairly sure he did, and that's where the whole inspiration for this came from.
Yeah, he did actually say that. So now I'm like, God damn it. Some offhand comment from Oliver Scripps has now become this whole thing. And that's kind of crazy and amazing. You know what I mean? Like, just an offhand kind of, just put it in a parliament of mice.
Well, I think first we should go to the vendors, personally.
I just
want to get this stuff in the rain.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a real desire to go to see what my temple looks like. I mean, Marley has been asking people for forever, have you heard of me? And this seems like the one
place where they actually
have heard of it.
Then what we'll do, if you want to have a brief diversion there, each of you roll a religion check, and the higher your number, the better your temple is and the better, like, worshipping your followers are.
13.
So I got a 17.
Okay. You find... Waffles, are there temples nearby?
Yeah, they're in the temple district. And so the way I sort of said I'm envisioning this is you've entered from the south. And so if you head north, so to the northwest, you'll find the temple district. And so you will see the apple orchard. And behind the apple orchard is some... old buildings that you think were once temples potentially to one of the other gods that they have begun to convert into your temples. And so you see kiori-sized effigies of you guys pretty much surrounding these buildings. And so there's all these statues and paintings and mosaics.
So are these bigling buildings?
Yes. Oh, every building in Bamford City is a bigling building that used to be part of the Vice District that is slowly... over the course of time being converted into a Kiori building.
That makes sense.
It feels a little sacrilegious to be taking... What temples are they? Do we know which gods we're going to anger by having our...
They were... Because they were in the Vice District, so were they temples?
Stonemore has its own temple district, so they wouldn't have been big grand temples that were already here in the Vice District, but they still could have been sort of smaller, ramshackle.
They look like temples to Zinth. It is Zinth, isn't it? God of Lies.
Okay, God of Lies. Yeah.
So it looks like it was an old rundown temple of Zinth that has been converted into the Temple of Marley, and it looks like the temple to Arcus is just a whole bunch of...
Just a cloud.
Just, yeah, well, they've tried to make it as cloudy as possible. And so pretty much it's white and it's wet. And so they've taken pretty much everything white and everything that they can find that's wet and sort of constructed. Because you keep on changing your shape, it's almost like they built the temple to change shapes with you. As you approach, you see a whole bunch of Kiori like quickly like, oh my god, it's Arcus! And they sort of start reconstructing the building to look like roughly how you look now.
Oh my god, cute!
They construct hats on top of it, and every day, every morning, there's a team of mice of Kiori whose job it is to throw buckets of water on the temple to make sure it stays wet.
I know you're going to say there's a whole like team that chooses out the hats and then decides which is appropriate.
So yeah, there are your temples. How do Marley and Arcus feel?
I feel like it's my purpose to become a god now. You already said Arcus was close. I feel like I can do it. I've seen the temple. I've realized my destiny. I'm divine.
Whereas Marley has that moment where she's like, you know, she gets her, like, she says, maybe you've heard of me, and they're all like, yeah, Marley! You know, like,
yes.
They're all excited.
As you approach, you pretty much hear a chorus that says, Marley Craft, we've heard of you, maybe!
That makes me so happy. She kind of goes kind of almost the other way. She's like, oh, this is amazing. This is everything I ever wanted. But also, here's a bunch of people who are just really into music. And she just wants to know what they're, like, singing, what they're playing, if she can help, if she could show them her saxophone. Like, you know, like, she just wants to, like, nerd out about music.
They have constructed every known instrument in the world of Iceland, plus a few that they've invented themselves. And so they've got saxophones, they've got stringed instruments, wind instruments, they've got, they've somehow found an old piano, which they've converted into a giant organ. And
amazing.
So there's a whole bunch of mice that will, or Kiori, that will run up the sides of this giant organ, and they will jump down on specific keys in rhythm in order to make music.
Yeah.
A young mouse or young Kiori, clearly a child, like scuttles up to you, Marley, and tugs very gently on your trouser leg, wanting your attention.
Yeah. And I look down and I sort of like, you know, go down, but not intimidatingly down. I'm like, yeah.
And then to your face, this tiny, cute little baby Kiori says, it's a tree you've played with Spritey McSteamface. He's our favorite.
and she's... But see, the thing is, just she's not even mad at this moment because she knows what happened to Spritey. They beat the crap out of Spritey. Well, they didn't, but somebody else did. So she's just like, oh, yeah, I've played with Spritey several times. Mm-hmm. He said I was really good.
Wow. Scuttles away.
Wait, I want to know what some of the made-up instruments are.
Oh, yeah, so...
Excellent.
Flute. That, you didn't have that before.
No, flutes. So they've got instruments that literally cannot be played with two hands, that have to be played with a tail. So massive sort of... It's like a saxophone, but it's got three... you know, tubes instead of just the one. And so they're sort of holding it, in sort of with two hands and the tail, and they're sort of playing it with all three appendages at the same time. And some of them have elaborately crafted, you're not quite sure whether it's clothing or an instrument, and they're dancing. And as they're dancing, they're making music at the same time as bells are ringing. And as they sort of move their arms, there's slits in their clothing which catch the wind and make music out of that as well. You look at the temple and you start seeing that there are aspects of the temple that as you interact with them will make sound as well. And so even as the Kiori are running up and down stairs or sliding down poles or, you know, going down slides, there is a rhythm and a music to it. And so the entire temple itself is a loving homage to the musical arts.
And you get 10,000 Kyori running laps around the inside of this building, and the sound it makes is
You see the street that the temple is on is called Baker Street, and you're not quite sure why.
And then randomly, Marley just finds herself singing Jurassic Park out of nowhere.
And they all start singing with you.
The God has spoken! Jurassic Park!
I love that you do that to Careless. It's Careless Whisper, right? Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I think so. Yes. Yeah.
Because you can do it to Jurassic Park theme.
No, but...
In Jurassic Park.
That wasn't even
me,
you know.
That's how I sing every time I listen to it.
I'm pretty sure that was Oliver that started that. Yeah, and it has just continued from sitting in Oliver's house, getting drunk and eating KFC, those very, very early episodes where we were just all over the place, and
oh
we
God,
just
let's
decided
bring that,
that
back.
That's how that worked. That song worked because I mentioned I wanted a saxophone, and that's the only song we knew, but nobody knew the lyrics. So we just did Jurassic Park, and that's it. That's the story of that. Like, it's very uninspiring, but it's kind of just stuck. And now every fatty can sing it, and it's hilarious to me. Like, it makes no sense, but it just makes me laugh so bad. Ugh. Bless our stupidness.
Okay, so you've checked out your temples, and what now?
Marley is in love, and when she leaves, she sort of says, "Don't forget, without the silence, there is no beauty in the music." And that's the last thing she says as she leaves the temple.
She told us to shut up!
You see a whole bunch of Kyori just run, and they start chiseling that into a nearby wall.
I think we should go to the... Elfie and Rosie.
Are we going to the... Yeah. Isn't it... We probably want to go to Elfie because he's the buyer or seller guy rather than Rosie, who's the importer-exporter chick.
I thought Rosie was the person if you were big to talk to.
I thought you were going to Hot Beans, the coffee vendor outside the city.
No, we've still got to get Rain's outfit. Yeah.
How is Rain reacting to all this, by the way? Can I get a Rain check?
A Rain check? on my shoulder.
And that's the end of everything.
Brad, why have you not ever said, "Can I get a rain check?" Holy shit, that's funny.
Because I'm not as smart or funny or charming as Waffles.
That's true.
Got him.
So how is Rain?
She's good. She's come out. She's sitting out on my shoulder, and I think she's just taking everything, and it's obviously a lot more advanced than when I picked her up. she's kind of the silent observer type.
Cool. So you guys head south into the commerce district, and you see a whole bunch of you think they were other houses or pubs or something or whatever, and they've got the walls cut out of them, so they're just massive windows, and you see all of the walls inside these buildings as you pass by are just chock full of mouse sized items, anything and everything that you could possibly want to buy. You see a shop that's selling cats to ride. They can sell rabbits, and you see a little mouse just go and they slap a rabbit and they go, "This bad boy, oh, he can unroust any cat, I'll tell you that." And they're even selling these sort of lizard creatures, and you hear them sort of saying, "Well, oh yeah, you can ride this tuatar up and down a wall, no sweat." They're selling Kia, and it's just like, "Oh man, you can fly! Yeah, this is, you know, that's the fastest travel you get from one side of Banfor City to the other in no time at all. This will revolutionize the industry, I'll tell you that much." Anything and everything you could possibly want is here, but it's the size meant for Kiori.
Those Kias would be good demolition.
Oh, yeah, like they are pretty much being used that way. If there's a building that needs to come down, there's a whole bunch of Kiori riding their Kias and using the beaks to take apart ever so gently, because they kind of want to reuse everything. Real big into recycling, Benfor City. Everything has a function, and there's a function for everything. And yes, IKEA are their sort of demolition experts. And a whole bunch of little kiori in hard hats, just walking down the street with a couple of Kia, just following along, just dragging a log behind them.
Did we find a... do we know which store to go into to find people? With mice that we need to?
Kiori, if you're looking for armor, there's an armor store. Kiori.
Yes, let's go to the armory. Mouse armory. Mousery, but that doesn't work.
So you go, there's a blacksmith's that you see that's called the Broken Tooth, and there is a very hardy looking Kiori hammering away at some armor in the background, and a sort of slightly smaller, maybe a apprentice Kiori sort of sees you coming, and he sort of quickly dusts himself off and sort of runs to the counter, and he strikes a pose to look charming. He wants to sort of impress you. He sort of, licks a paw and combs his messy hair back, and he's sort of like, our customers. I deal with customers all the time. Yeah.
He looks like Leonardo DiCaprio in the engine room of the Titanic.
Yes, exactly. But as a mouse.
I take Rain off my shoulder and I put her down at the counter, and I'm like, you can go pick out what you want. And to the merchant on counter, I'm like, hey, could you please take care of my beautiful friend here, Rain, and find her some appropriate armor to protect her.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, she'll be... She'll be taken good care of, I'll tell you that.
And he gives you a wink, and he leads her away, and then what begins is a montage.
It wasn't for anything.
I'll take care of it.
She winds up dead. Like
No. You then get a montage of these changing rooms, and the apprentice will go, and he'll select a whole bunch of different armors and give them to Rain, and Rain will go into the changing room, and she'll come out and look at you approvingly, and you'll shake your head, and she'll go back in and change, and you'll come out and you'll shake your head, and then you'll go back in and change, and then she comes out and she's looking absolutely stunning, some armor that fits her beautifully, and I will,
and just a flavor,
yes, and I will let you describe what armor she's chosen, if you'd like.
This is great. I know all about armors, so I can do this really detailedly.
I know all about armors, so I can do this really detailedly. I love it. I was trying to give you more time to think.
It doesn't help. No thoughts, head empty. She's got some chainmail. And she's got like... obviously a much smaller version of plate armor over the top. It's sort of plate armor. You know what? I take
it
back.
Like,
I think
first knighting, like looking she's on one of the.
I've disagreed with myself. I'm trying to think. This is.
Is there a movie?
That is such a good idea. Fill in the blank while I Google something quickly.
Okay.
All right, well, Marley can go shopping for Marley stuff if she wants.
The Marley stuff? No, because I imagine, like, they're doing a fairly good trade of all sorts of stuff. You know, just because they're mice doesn't mean they only like mice stuff, right?
Yeah, but all the bigling stuff is... You look down and you see a whole herd of guinea pigs dragging a fairly large for a Kiori cart full of bigling-sized weapons and armor and, you know, books and, you know, wands and other such things that people in a fantasy world would possibly want. But it's very finely made. It's some of the greatest craftsmen, like the detail, because they've got little hands, they can really get that detail down tight. And so all the chainmail, the links, is just so you know, beautifully welded together, that they're almost seamless. And it's sort of being taken out of the city, and what you're sort of assuming is a delivery that's being made. And it's being flanked by battle mice to protect.
I pointed it and I'm like, where did that come from?
Oh, the manufacturing district. Just as a random Kiori as he's walking past.
Yeah, and I'm like, huh. And that Somali sort of wanders off in that direction looking for where that stuff will have come from, you know? Like, yeah.
You just see the occasional carriage of stuff, and you sort of slowly follow it back to the manufacturing district, which is very industrialized. Mm-hmm. You can sort of see that a lot of the... you sort of have to pass through the agricultural zone. So as you're going through the agricultural zone, you're seeing just there's crops, and there's a whole bunch of Kiori just around sort of attending the crops, but because they're small and crops are generally sort of quite big, you know, there's sort of quite a lot of them, and they're sort of using a whole assortment of animals. There's, you know, whiru, who, you know, ducks that they're sort of using to, you know, they're riding around and sort of they're riding the ducks and all the water channels, all the irrigation networks. And there's, of course, the very stunningly beautiful apple orchard with the Temple of Trestle Spoon, like, stuck right in the middle, which is sort of just the biggest apple tree, which they've sort of converted. And it's sort of just covered in letters and apples. So you pass through the agricultural zone and you sort of get the very industrialized, you know, manufacturing zone. And you see a whole bunch of sort of Kiori sort of workers in just their sort of tradie clothes, just sort of tiny little Kiori hammers and screwdrivers. And
yeah, she's looking for someone that would be like working on a dagger, like that kind of like weapon-y type stuff, because she saw some of the daggers go out and she noticed like all the really fine engraving and stuff. And so she's like, I want one of those, like not magic in any kind of way, just like a really cool looking dagger, you know?
All right, you can roll a d20.
Sure. Gladly. 14 straight. Did you want me to add anything to
cool.
it?
Yep. No, yeah, without too much difficulty, like a little bit of wandering, but eventually you do find a sort of smithy, but it's a big smithy, and it's full of Kiori, all sort of working away on sort of armor and weapons of all sort, and, you know, sort of little Kiori, sort of looks like a Kiori foreman, and so he's... Mm. Sort of got a hard hat. Like, he's got a bit more formal clothing.
Kia ora, Kiori. Hi, I've been told this is the formal greeting. I'm interested in buying a dagger.
Kia ora. Yeah, we just make them. Are you looking for do you want us to make something special for you?
I mean, yes. I mean, I'm happy to arrange the purchase elsewhere, but I was just wondering if I could get on the ground floor. I mean, the work is so incredible.
Oh yeah, sure. What are you looking for? Just a regular a dagger? Are you looking for something special? Like
it's more the engraving, maybe.
Oh okay. Yeah, if you want, we've got just a couple of regular daggers we're going to ship out, but we could engrave one of them special for you if you'd like. It wouldn't take too long.
That would be amazing if that was okay.
Yeah, anything for the god of music. my daughter's a big fan.
Oh, that's really precious. I wonder if I met her at the temple earlier. I was there.
Yeah.
And just sort of, making small talk, and then it's sort of like, I just wonder if you could do, I don't know, something like this. And she pulls out like a piece of paper, and it's, you know how like people carry around like that tattoo design that they're thinking about? They carry it around and it's got all these different like symbols and it means something to them. And, you know, they like hold on to it for a while before they decide to put it anywhere. It's like that. She's been thinking about all these things. So it's got like vines through it. It's got music notes in it. It's got like the name craft. It's got apple kind of orchardy, you know, like, and then it's got a little wolf sort of symbol, but it's all very scrolled and filigreed and wound, you know? And she's like, I don't know, something like this. I don't know if that's doable.
Yeah, no, we can do that. That's fine. That'll cost you 30 half bricks.
Oh, okay. And Molly actually, like, hearing that, like, actually hearing that, she tears up a little bit, and you actually see, like, a tear drop down Molly's cheek, and she sort of hurriedly wipes it away, and she's like, absolutely, yes, I can do that.
The half brick is just the name of the currency. Like, one half brick is worth about half a copper.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet you, just because they're doing so much construction, they need bricks.
No, but Bamful is a man of many half bricks. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Amazing callback, Waffles. Amazing callback.
Thank you. Yep, the half brick is the currency, and the number system that they use is base 7, because Banfor, the only number that Banfor can recognize is a 7, so all the Kiori can only count up to 7. Yep. Yeah.
This is so deep cuts.
Thank you. So he takes the design and he says, if you come back tomorrow about the same time, that should be finished by then. I'll get the best artisans to really make it special. Anything for a god.
Thank you so much. This is amazing work that you're doing here, and I have to go find my friend and Rain. I'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you.
Like that you're not friends with Rain.
Yeah, he takes the paper very sort of gently in his paws. Yeah, you know, he sort of calls a couple of workmen over, and he sort of shows them and sort of points, and they sort of get really excited, and they sort of start looking over the design, and they sort of start really sort of scrutinizing it, and they run away to grab, they go through and they sort of look at all the sort of old daggers, and they're like, no, this isn't good enough, and they sort of go and they open up a vault at the back, and they take out a really, really fancy, fine made dagger and take that out, and they sort of start looking at each other and be like, yeah, this is going to be an amazing dagger.
Nice.
Yep.
30 and a half half bricks.
And Arcus, how's that armor that that Rain's got on?
Yeah, you know what? It will be plate. I put a little picture in the group chat if anyone wants to look at what I was thinking, but or inspired by it. But yeah, a little plate armor, top half with a little helmet, and just fabric pants on underneath so she can move fast.
That's the cutest picture I've ever seen.
Right?
Oh my god, I love it.
Cool. So that is now what Rain is wearing.
Yeah, so you've got your armor for Rain that you came for. You've got, you've placed an order for an ornate mouse-designed dagger.
So excited about that.
Would you jump on the railroad of trying to find this coffee vendor now, or would you explore this city further?
Is Waffles losing their crap in the background?
Or would you want to jump on the other railroad of, you know for a fact Haydet has something to say to you?
No, I'm way more interested in the hot beans, cold beans thing, so I'm going after hot beans.
Okay, that's fine.
We're gonna die, aren't we, Brad? Are we gonna die? No, okay. No. You know what, fuck it, I will open the locker, okay?
Before you do, what were you saying, JD?
I think I will just grab, I'll grab Raina a little, like a fencing rapier. That's the word.
Okay.
Grab her a rapier.
Throw one in on the house. Like, all this is on the house. Like, it's amazing. Very clearly, you're not paying for any of this.
No half bricks at all. Not even a quarter brick. Not even one-eighth of a brick for this.
You have my blessing. My blessing upon you, child.
And you see the apprentice mouse sort of give Rain a wink and blow a kiss her way, and he blushes and sort of hurriedly scurries away.
Paint me like one of your French mice.
What is French for mouse?
La mouse.
Moose. No.
Souris.
All right. Souris.
Like Souris.
That's his name. That's the apprentice's name.
Souris.
Okay, so you leave Banfor City and head back to the land of the Biglings towards the merchants district in the center of town where, like, the killing grounds and stuff are.
Mm.
Make an investigation check just to summarize how all this goes, searching for this vendor.
Oof.
If it's easy or not.
Not good on my front. 5.
7.
Okay, yeah, it takes you quite a while. You look around the Merchant's District of Stonemaw, and you're a bit disoriented because you've just come from this completely other world a few blocks over, and you're back in amongst bigger people, and moving around is a bit harder, and you're surprised how acclimatized you became to Banfor City and being surrounded by much smaller creatures than yourselves. So yeah, it takes you a while, but you eventually...
Arcus always acclimatizes.
Because Arcus is a clown.
Wait, what?
I thought it was a sex joke, punning around almost the word climax. But
you would, Jake. You would think that sex joke. That's on you and your dirty mind. I was climate change. You know, with the cloud thing. That's where I went.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a bad man. So it takes you a while. You ask around, but you eventually find this vendor, this coffee vendor called Hot Beans. And you enter the store, and...
Well, it's not so much a store as it is a hog-drawn coffee cart.
Okay, yep, retcon.
Yep. Yeah, and so there is a halfling riding the hog with the steam pouring out of this contraption out the back, and you sort of hear the beans jingling as the hog is very slowly making its way through the streets, and he's yelling, hot coffee, get your coffee, hot coffee, nice and fresh.
Does it come with hot beans?
Ah, you've heard of me.
Yeah, we met Cool Beans.
Cool, at the name of Cool Beans, he jumps off the hog and he gives it a sort of friendly pat, and he sort of says, all right, mate, it's been a good day. You've been a good hog, but I'm going to need you to head back now. And he sort of sends the hog on its way, and the hog sort of slowly trundles off with this contraption on its back. It knows the way home. He comes over and he sort of beckons you into a dark alleyway.
Hogs are really smart.
They are.
Because Foxworthy was the best.
Wait, did you say Foxworthy?
And Marley, like, stops dead with big eyes.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know my good boy, Foxworthy? I mean, he's not my good boy, but he is a good boy.
He sort of points off to the hog that just trotted off, and he says, yeah, best hog I ever bought.
Like, are you serious?
Yeah, he owns Foxworthy.
With the big Pac-Man-shaped white patch on his side.
I was going to say, because if Marley sees that patch, she would go running after that hog to hug it. Like, so hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's Foxworthy! Yay! Foxworthy is back! Remember good boy Foxworthy from back in chapter 1? I wonder what Haydet so urgently wants to tell our heroes. Ah, who cares? Foxworthy! What a rich and vibrant little world Waffles has built with Banfor City. That's awesome! Thanks, Waffles. That is going to be a really cool place to set some great little stories in the near future. I look forward to seeing what the Kiori can get up to when the biglings aren't watching. We couldn't make this show without the love and help and good vibes from our awesome Patreon supporters. They are Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin, and James Blaster from Wheel of Woe Podcast, Ijo Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kydron Fowles, Lauren Flake, Guy Dealer, Rihanna Kavalsa, Kevin Zriff from The Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nichols from the Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP Squished, Alexandra Lickkites, Andrew Evans, Danny Holman from the Grow Out of It Podcast, Kevin Carver, Dakota Szymanski, Damian Lebreton, Andrew M, and Alexander Waffles Williams. Oh, I made a few mistakes in that one. Damn, I'm off my game. If anybody else wants to add their name to that list and make it even harder for me to do, find out how at patreon.com/fateofison. Or just drop us a sweet review somewhere. We like that. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, Podchaser. It will just tell your mum that Fate of Ison is cool. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will probably find out what Haydet wants in the next episode. Ciao for now. Brad, you did not just say ciao for now. Yes, I did. Dork.
Hey, Waffles.
Hey, Mario.
Hey, we've got 30 seconds to talk about what our podcast is about. What do you want to do?
Waffles and Mario talk about things.
Mm.
How would you describe the podcast?
I describe it as a podcast where both of us, being funny people, talk about things that we find funny.
Well, do we have to find it funny?
No, we don't. We very rarely find things funny.
Can we just talk about things and then we find the humor in that?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't laugh. I'm a sociopath.
You are.
Yeah. And so are you.
I am.
And that's what our podcast is about.
Two sociopaths talking about things.
Yes.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.